I don't know, guys. If I couldn't be this way, if I couldn't do this, that would take the excitement out of church living.
Yep.
But we serve an exciting God. We serve God omnipotent, man. I mean, he's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present all the time. He doesn't take a break. He's not on vacation. He hasn't left us, never will. Leave us or forsake us. That's good news. That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. We have to change the way we think, which many times means we have to change the way we act. I would ask you to challenge yourself. Say, self, is what I'm currently doing benefiting me? Is what you're currently doing benefiting you? And I'm here to tell you, if it isn't, that means you need to change something. And I've always loved praise and worship, but I am grateful to Pastor Weldon how he brought the example and the difference that when your praise is an outward expression, and then it lines up with the scripture that says it binds the enemy in fetters and chains. And it says in our praise, God is in our presence when we praise him. It brings the kingdom of heaven right down with us in the very present. We know we got that with the Holy Spirit, but it changes the environment. So I lift a hallelujah. So every Sunday that I come in now, the past three Sundays, I'm more purposeful. Anybody ever read the book Purpose Driven Life? Talks about purpose, right? I'm bound and determined and purposeful that I'm going to give everything that I can within my spirit to say thank you, Lord. And sometimes that may sound out of tune. It may sound out of whack. It may sound like, oh my gosh, can't hear the worship over you screaming hallelujah. And I know that that may be a disruption. My challenge to you guys is enter in. Enter in. Try not to worry about what I'm saying or what anybody else is shouting or looking at them or wishing that you wish maybe you could be that boisterous or vocal or have that much boldness to jump up and down or clap your hands. I'm saying get out of yourself. You see, when you get out of yourself and get into God, things change. Not just on Sunday. Amen. 24/7, right? And I practice at it. I practice at it because practice makes us better. Amen. Title of today's message is Firepower Part 2. Last week, Pastor Weldon brought firepower. I'm bringing Firepower Part 2, Kingdom Fire. Kingdom Fire. And I want to bring an understanding of what it is to have the fire of God inside you. Hopefully I can lay this out so that we have a better understanding, because it's one of those things. It's like Jesus is going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and then adds in and fire. And it's like, okay, well, I got the Holy Spirit, but what's this fire thing all about? And so I'm doing a little deeper dive in it. And so Matthew 3:11, if you're in that scripture, it's on the handouts there. Matthew 3:11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This is John the Baptist saying this. But he, that's Jesus, that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, I believe there's some translations out there that take the word fire completely out of it. But the importance is this fire is something you can't get. See, when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Ghost. But when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you don't have that fire upon you. So last week, Pastor Weldon was laying out the fire is an important part, because with the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost, that is when your life changes. That's when somebody doesn't become a frozen, chosen believer. That is somebody that doesn't just go through the motions. Well, my daddy and mommy raised me to go to church, so I go to church on Sunday or Saturday or Wednesday or whatever that is, and the rest of the time I live like hell. All right? Because you don't have the fire, the zeal of God in you. So in better to understand verse 11, we need to read verse 10 and verse 12 in conjunction with it. Verse 10 says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root. Everybody say, the problem is the root. You ever heard that before? We've got to get to the root of the problem. We've got to get to the root of the problem. See, Jesus came to get to the root of the problem. We had a problem in our thing, and you know what the problem was? The problem isn't the sin nature. The problem is we had no relationship with Jesus Christ. When you accept Jesus, everything else changes. You understand what I'm saying? We are a corruptible spirit. With him, we're now incorruptible. No corruption in our life. No condemnation in Christ Jesus in our life. Romans 8:1. Are you with me so far? And so it says, an axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and will be cast in the fire. In other words, any tree that is out there and it's not producing what it should, it needs to get burned up. Before Christ, I was producing things that weren't good. And there was something in me that needed to get thrown in the fire. Are you understanding what I'm saying? All of us prior to Christ needed some stuff burned up in our lives. So this is verse 10. Says that they'll be cast into fire. And then verse 11 says, the one that comes after me will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Do you see what the fire? Fire is representing here. It's a cleansing fire. It's a purifying fire. Then verse 12 says, whose fan, this is talking about Jesus now, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. In other words, everything that is junk in you is getting removed. And gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with an unquenchable fire. In other words, the fire that we receive from the Lord in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire is a fire that you cannot put out. To define unquenchable means it can't be extinguished. It can't be put out. So there are some that will get baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, and they may find themselves kind of in that dry wilderness place. Maybe they kind of fizzled out. Maybe that fervency and that fire and that zeal for God has kind of gone down. But here's the reality of all of it. It hasn't left. That fire never left. It's just waiting to be fanned again. It's just waiting to be fed some more oxygen, some more life to it, so that it now can become this blazing inferno of God in you. And change takes place. It's no longer a person of God going through motions. Tradition of man has made the word of God of no effect. But those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, I would say, if they know God and they're baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, the tradition of man is not a part, because they will be able to look at the word of God and see through what the truth is. It will steer you in the right direction, because you'll have this communion with the Holy Ghost that is in there to help convince us and convict us and teach us and help us and remind us. And as we fan that Holy Ghost, it starts to boil up and flame up even higher, 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 and hotter, and that's when you watch out. That's when it's like, what the heck is wrong with him? What is wrong with her? How can they be so happy in the midst of a storm? How can they be different? How can there be joy unspeakable? How can they have peace in the midst of this turmoil? Huh? Because you don't know what's in me. But let me tell you what's in me. Ooh, the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost came with a thing called fire, and it's burned up the junk. The old you is burned up. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, the old you is burned up. This is different from accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's baptism of the blood. Baptized, covered by the blood of Jesus, you're a new creation, okay? But it's bigger. There's more to it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire brings sanctification. Sanctification is a process of making us or becoming holy. Do you see? The only way to become holy is to have the old you, the corruptible you, burned away, removed. As far as the east is from the west, it takes and covers, it burns it up. Anybody ever seen a forest fire? A forest fire? You got all this stuff. So I picture our lives right now, guys. I picture our lives prior to Christ. I picture a whole bunch of stuff had grown up inside me. From the time, see, every baby's born innocent. They have a corruptible spirit, but every baby is born innocent. Do you hear what I'm saying? Every baby's born innocent. But as the baby grows and gets older and older, more and more things from circumstances of life enter this baby, enter the toddler, enter the child, enter the adolescent, then grows to be this adult with all kinds of stuff that has grown up inside that is not of God. Are you with me? So what happens is Jesus comes so that we can be baptized in this Holy Ghost and receive this fire. So all of the stuff that grew up inside of us that's not of him gets burned away. Are you with me? Now, a lot of times in the process of that, we look at things and it's like we allow new growth to start to take place. So as we've got this little campfire in our bellies, new stuff starts to grow up around it because we open our eye gates and our ear gates to stuff that we shouldn't be watching, listening, or dealing with. And so we allow the enemy to creep in and tell us we're no good again. Don't you remember you had those issues before? Don't you remember? And so we allow this stuff to happen. And so what starts to happen is inside you, all of a sudden, the stuff that you had once had burned up starts to grow. And that is why we have to fan the flame, so that some embers from that campfire go and start catching ablaze all of the junk that started to grow up again. But here's the deal. If you stay on fire for God, you're not going to have all of that stuff growing back up. Does that make sense? Just trying to make an analogy to this. So sanctification purifies us. That's what the fire of God does. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? I'm going to stop right there. Who's the unrighteous? The unsaved. Everybody, okay, when I say who the unrighteous is, for all of us to have an understanding, every one of us should understand that the unrighteous are those that don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. Are you with me? That's the simplicity of it. The unrighteous don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're righteous. You're right with God because you're not saved by your works. Are you with me? Can you, as somebody who's saved, do unrighteous things, things that aren't good? Yes, but the unrighteous are the ones who are not saved. So let's read this. Know ye that the unrighteous, those that aren't saved, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It goes in lists. Be not deceived. If you're reading in this or whatever, underline the word deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you. Such were me. Are you with me? All of us, prior to Christ. But you are justified, that's made right, in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. Now remember the word deceived, because I'm going to bring that back. 2 Timothy 1, 6 and 7 says, you, everybody say me, received, underline the word received. So now we have two words, deceived and received. You received a gift from God. Paul says, when I placed my hands on you to ordain you, now I'm reminding you to fan that gift into flames. So Paul is speaking to his young protege, Timothy, and he's saying, listen, you received a gift when I laid my hands on you. I ordained you. I laid my hands on you. Now because of that, I want you to fan that gift into flames. Every single one of us, ladies and gentlemen, has gifts. Every single one of us. My challenge is don't sell yourself short and ask for them all. Ask for them all. I want every gift. I want words of knowledge. I want to prophesy. I want to speak in tongues. I want to Yep, that thing too. Amen? Yeah. Amen is what you say when it's like, do you guys agree? Because I don't know what I was just saying. But follow me. Verse 7, because God didn't give us a cowardly spirit or a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind or good judgment. That's a gift. So Paul's saying, listen, receive this gift and fan it into flames, because you want to fan that gift into flames because you got power. You've got good judgment. You've got a sound mind. Fan that flame. Fan it because you've got it already. Just wake it up. So the word sieve, remember deceive and receive. Try to be an English teacher here. I'm not an English teacher. We'll hope the Holy Ghost can spell this out. Explain it good, all right? Sieve, C-E-I-V-E, is an old word. It's a word that isn't used anymore. It's an old word from the Latin, sieve. If you're playing Scrabble, you can probably use it as a word because it is a true word, all right? Sieve means simply get or to have. Sieve means get or to have. You have it, all right? Deceive, the D, D-E is the prefix of the root word sieve, means down from, away, or off. So when we go back to Scripture that says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. In other words, don't allow what is supposed to be yours be taken away from you. Because you're supposed to have it. If you can get this, this will be powerful. If you can understand this what I'm trying to lay out, this will be powerful in your life. See, we weren't born to not be in relationship with God. We were born to have relationship with God. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he suffered. That's why he went to hell and rose from the grave and is seated at the right hand of the Father. That's why our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. That's why we're saved by grace and not by our manly human works. Because we were always meant to have a powerful, not a weak, a powerful relationship with God. Always. So don't be deceived. Don't allow what the enemy is trying to take from you that is already yours. Don't allow it to take it from you. Don't be deceived. But instead, receive. The prefix re means back or again and again. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Again. So maybe you're not understanding. So when you receive something, you get back what was once yours. I need you to get this. Amen. Receive power. Good. In other words, receive something that you are already supposed to have it, but lost it when Adam and Eve fell. See, it was lost in the beginning. Adam and Eve had power, but lost it. They had dominion, but lost it. But the reason it's not, here, get this, but it's get it again, is because it's something that we've always supposed to have. And the only way to have it is through Jesus Christ. And that comes in its fullness when we are baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Receive. Acts 1:8, and you will receive power. You'll receive power. Already supposed to be there. So we look at things like the word turn. Turn is a direction. Return means go back to where you came from. I just want to bring this English lesson. Are you understanding? Cover is to protect. Recover is to protect again. Recover. I'm going to recover from this issue. I'm going to get fully protected again from this issue. Recover. Pent is think. Repent is think again. You're going to hear that again. You're going to hear that again. That's powerful. Repent means think about this once more. Turn from how you used to think back to where you should be thinking. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, you need to think back to how it used to be, because the kingdom is here now again. Because the Jews knew the Old Testament. Are you with me? The Jews understood the Old Testament. They understood that Adam and Eve walked with God. So Jesus comes and says, repent. Think back to how it used to be, because I'm here right now and it's going to be that way again. Yeah. It's that way again. Yeah. Right now.
Yes.
Right now. Restore. Put something in. Restore is to put something in again. Anybody ever been restored? You see, I got the Holy Ghost put back in me. I'm back to where I should have always been. But God gives us free choice on whether or not we're going to do it. Do you know why people don't fan the gift into flames? I'm fully convinced of this. I've talked to enough people, I've been around enough people to understand some things, because you talk to somebody who's been in the Bible for any time at all, and they'll say, you know, I need to read my Bible, I need to go to church, I need to get in Bible studies, I need to pray, you know, I need to. And then my question is, well, why don't you? Lazy. I'm stepping on toes, but maybe I'm not stepping on your toes, maybe you're not lazy, right? But understand what I'm saying. If you're saying, well, I know I need to do this, but I just don't have time because I'm busy, then where are your priorities? Because I want to remind you of Martha and Mary. In the Gospel of Luke, Martha and Mary, Jesus came to the house. Martha went around doing all kinds of busy chores, cooking, cleaning, doing all this stuff, and got frustrated because Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And Martha goes over to Jesus and says, Lord, look what she's doing. I mean, tell her. What she's doing, it's not good. And he goes, oh, no, wait. Jesus rebukes Martha and says, no, she's sitting here listening to me. Most important thing. And so when you find yourself as a believer and you find that flame start to dwindle and go down a little bit more and a little bit more because you're allowing circumstances of life to keep you busy from fanning the flame, then either your priorities are wrong or you're just lazy in the process. I'm here to bring a correction. God is the number one thing in your life as a believer. Your faith in God is the number one thing as a believer. If you're married in here, God in your relationship is the number one thing as a believer. If you're a parent in here, God is the number one thing as a parent. Do you hear what I'm saying? But if you make excuses why you can't get closer to God, then it's just an excuse because God is with you all the time. And your flame will not be fanned if you choose not to fan it, because you're the one who has to fan it by putting some action into place. Enough beating. Let's move on. This is a good one. God just gave me this one. I like this one. The word vive, V-I-V-E. Means lively. Revive. Again, live. And we're praying. We're praying, man, as pastors in the church body. We're praying, Lord, bring revival. Point the finger at yourself. Point the finger at you. Lord, revive me. And he says, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire? And if you're like, Lord, I have been baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire, he says, then fan the flame. Fan the flame. You want to get excited? Fan the flame. You want to be changed forever? Keep it ablaze. Keep it ablaze. Keep going. Am I boring you? Keep going. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power. You're going to get power again. You're getting back again the power that you should have already had. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You're going to get this. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and all of Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. If you feel like you don't have boldness in Christ, fan the flame. Fan the flame. The fire's inside you. You're not going to be ashamed to say Jesus. If the fire's inside you, you're not going to be ashamed to dance around, jump up and down, hallelujah, shout. You are a different person. Power. But that's next week. Matthew 4, 17 and 18. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. Repent. In other words, think again or think back. In the beginning, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or it has arrived. Repent. Go back. And everybody's like, God, why? I was asking God the other day, God, why are we not seeing miracles? God, why are my eyes not restored the way I want them to be? Why are we not seeing limbs grow out, deaf ears open? Why, God, why are we not seeing this? We need to think back and understand that it is that way, but we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire. I don't know what, it looks like. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know the more people on fire for God, the more change that's going to take place. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't have said, the things that I do, you will do an even greater things. Or we're calling the Word of God a liar. And I don't think God's a liar, right? So we have to go that this is still how it is. Kingdom, fire. Yep. I used to get fired up when I was angry. You see, when I was angry, it used to fuel. Prior to Christ, it used to fuel something in me. When I got angry, that's when my adrenaline would flow. That's when I would be pumped and excited when I was angry. I got saved. You know how I know how fire of God works? When I got saved, if any anger came in me, I felt sick. It totally deflated me. But when I worshiped and praised God, I was inspired and glory fell. And it was total change. When I got filled with fire, jealousy left, envy left, anger left. Read the works of the flesh. These things got snuffed out. They got burned away. I'm here to tell you, with things that are going on in this country and circumstances, I find myself anger starting to come back up. But this is why we're in the right place, Pastor Weldon. We're in the right place right now because that anger is getting burned away again. That anger is getting burned away because if God is for me, what can man do to me? That is the word. Thus saith the word of God. If God is for you, what can man do to you? So yeah, there's a lot of silly things taking place in this world right now, but man, I'm a child of God. Woo, and I just fan it, man. Fan that flame. I don't want to look weird and do this. Do whatever it takes, but fan that flame. Because it changes you. Hebrews 12:28. Wherefore we, say me, receiving, there's that word, receiving, getting back what you once had, receiving the kingdom which cannot be moved. We received a kingdom. It can't be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire, an unquenchable fire that lives in you. Kingdom is the domain, and every kingdom where they have dominion is a place where the culture and the language is controlled by that kingdom. We talk about prayer language. We talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We talk about those things. Those things come when you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, because you receive the kingdom, and the kingdom brings a culture, and that culture has a dominion and a representation. And so you start to speak the things of God. You start to act the things. You have the ability to walk out life without being a sinful individual. We know it's been forgiven as far as the east is from the west, but you don't have to walk out lying and adulterous and thieving and stuff like that. Grace covers you, yes, but you have the ability to be different, to change how you used to be. I don't want to go back to how I used to be. Amen. Man, the fire of God's coming just in time. It's time to rekindle it. Kingdom domain. And there's a governor. These are some things. If you've never listened to Miles Monroe, he is an amazing teacher on the things of how the kingdom of God brings a government to us. The governor rules in the territory. The governor in us is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is a ruling authority in us. See, every state has a governor's mansion that the governor can stay at. Where does the Holy Spirit dwell in us? Well, where does it dwell? In us. We are the mansion of the Holy Ghost. Okay? We are the place where the ruling authority lives. And we just want to keep that fanned. For the kingdom, Psalms 22:28 of Psalms. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Matthew 2:6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. And we know that who was born in Bethlehem? Jesus Christ. And Jesus' final act was to restore or put back in something that we didn't have anymore, and that was the Holy Ghost. Because he said, when I leave, do not worry, because I'm going to send you a comforter. And in that translation, it means something exactly like me. The very exact replication of Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that lives in us. And so I close with this final scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. We all know it, but the beauty of it, it says, therefore, if any man or woman be in Christ, they're a new creature. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature. Why? Because the old has been burned up. Old things have passed away. They're no more. They were scorched. They were purified. You are sanctified. You're being made holy. Behold, all things have become new. Kingdom fire, the fire of God, is one of the most important things in your life that you can continue to fan. And the way to keep it fanned is to praise, pray, worship our Lord and Savior. Get into the Word. Get into the praise. Get into the worship. When you come to church, and you're here, be all here. When you're praying, be all there. Be present. Be present in the midst of it. Stand to our feet. We'll close in prayer. Father, we glorify your holy name. And Father, I ask that you will bless my brothers and sisters that are here and those that are watching. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that your hand of protection, your hand of favor, your hand of blessing be upon each and every family that is here and those that represent the body of Christ here. God, we love you and we thank you that you have given us a gift, the Holy Ghost that has come to live in us. And Father, I know that when we repent, we think of the things on how it used to be. We reconnect. We rethink on how it should be. And so, Father, I thank you that in you we are perfect, Lord. In you we are holy. In you we are set apart. In you we've been justified. In you we are covered by the blood. So, Father, I thank you that in you we win. And that there is victory. If there be anyone that doesn't know you, if there be anyone that knows you but has not said, God, baptize me in the Holy Spirit and fire, that they would open their eyes and their ears and their heart to you right now. Father, I say the whole part of the body, the floodgates be open, so that they may ask, God, come into my life and make me different. burn up the old. Baptize me in the Holy Ghost. Let your fire consume me so that I may burn for you in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those that are here in agreement said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.